The Gospel of John, and we're going to be looking in chapter number 21, if you'll stand with me. The Gospel of John, chapter 21, not an unfamiliar passage, and I got to thinking about it, and I know I've preached from this somewhere in the not too recent distance past, but I couldn't find the notes on it, so I'm not sure what I did with them or if I did when I preached from it. But anyway, tonight we're going to look back there. You're familiar with what's happened. Simon Peter has made a bold statement. He said, Lord, I won't deny you. Lord said, oh yeah, you'll deny me three times before the cock crows. And sure enough, that night, Simon Peter, the same night, he denied him, warmed by the enemy's fire, by the coal of fire, and he denied him three times there at the judgment hall. Well, the Lord has resurrected. He has appeared to the disciples, and now he told them to meet them back in Galilee. And they've toiled all night fishing, and the Lord appears on the shore and calls to them, and they come in, and there's the coal of fire. And the Lord's got fish on it. I wonder if that coal of fire, same thought, same phrase. I wonder if that was a convicting thing. We'll see several convicting things tonight that were done. It's amazing how the Lord can rebuke us without having to say a whole lot to us. Amen. The Lord has a way of just reminding us of some things and some things where we've been and what we've done. And so tonight I want to look at just the thought here. Let's begin in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? That'll take maybe about thought tonight, more than these. Let's bow our heads together. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, help us, I pray, and may your word go forth with clarity and in boldness and truth tonight, and we'll thank you for all you do in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. I want to take our time tonight. I want to just go through this and look more than verse by verse. I want to look at phrase by phrase and word by word. The Bible says that they had finished eating. The Lord had prepared fish there by the fire. They finished eating. And it clearly tells us who it is. Jesus said to Simon Peter. Now, the Lord had given Simon Peter, his name was originally, his name was Simon, son of Jonah, or Jonas as it's called. But in John 1, the Lord called him Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. But then, in the book of Matthew chapter 16, he said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. He said, I say unto thee, thou art Peter. So the Lord Jesus gave him his names. He was Simon, son of Jonas. He was known then as Cephas. And then he was Simon Bar-Jonah. The bar means son of. So Bar-Jonah, son of Jonas, Simon, son of Jonas. But the Lord gave him the name of, initially of Cephas, and then the Lord gave him the name of Peter. But what's interesting is when the Lord spoke to him and when the Lord addressed him, he used the old name. And he called him by his old name and his old nature. He said, the Spirit of God pens, he said to Simon Peter, so we know who he's talking to, Simon, son of Jonas. He went back to his old name, and he left it at that. In other words, can I say it this? Simon Peter had gone back to his old life. He had gone back to his old language. He had cussed and swore. He had gone back to his old living. He was a fishing. So the Lord said, well, looks like you've just reverted back and you've just gone back. So you're no longer Simon Peter. You're no longer Cephas. We'll just call you Simon, son of Jonas. Boy, how that must have hurt. Boy, how that must have cut. Boy, how that must have just rubbed salt in the wound. You know what I'm saying? And there are, you know, before a man is saved, sometimes they'll develop nicknames. And people have nicknames and they call you things. And people haven't seen you in a long time. And then they see you and they call you by your nickname. That old name that they knew you by. And sometimes that old name is not necessarily complimentary. It may be talking about the old life and the old ways and the old things. And it's kind of shocking when you feel, I guess, disrespected to start with. And then once you think about it a minute, you feel ashamed that you was ever called by that. That you were ever called by that name. But can I say, if you're going to act like a heathen, might as well call you by the name of one. When we, in the Middle East, when we see people saved, the first thing they want, and they want the preacher to do it. Now, this is an odd custom. They want the preacher to give them a new name. When they get saved, they don't want to be Muhammad and Ali and all those names anymore, and about all of them are named that. You go in a crowd of Muslims and holler Muhammad, and everybody there will raise their hand, you know. And ones that don't raise their hand on Muhammad will raise it on Ali, and they're all named. You know, that's one of their names because they're named after, you know, their religion. But they want a Christian name. And once they get born again, they want you to give them a Christian name. And I've had to, you know, well, what's my new name? And I'm going, like I'm supposed to know that, you know. But that they want the preacher to give them their Christian name. And you can tell what they are by what their name is. If you got somebody's name's Muhammad, there's no question, he's Muslim. But if you've got somebody whose name is Lazarus, he's Christian. Somebody's name is Benjamin, he's Christian. And Martha or Mary, they're Christian. You know who they are. And you can tell by their name. And so it's true in the third world, the first thing they want is their new name and to represent their new life. And they'll even want you to be, they want to be baptized with that new name. So when you baptize them, you don't baptize them, this is Muhammad, so-and-so. They don't want that. No. This ain't who, I'm. That ain't me no more. I am now, and you have to give their new Christian name as you baptize them. So it's unique. I mean, we talk about dying out to the old man. Can I tell you, over there, they die out to the old identity. They don't even have the same name anymore. They change their names. It's pretty interesting. So in this thing, when the Lord's confronting Simon Peter, he addresses him by the old name. And of course, with that brings up all the thoughts of the old nature. And of course, what the denying that Peter had done, it came from the old nature. He just reverted back to that old man. And so Simon, son of Jonas. But then he says something else. He says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? And it's a question mark. Now, remember what Simon has said? Simon has said we know what the first commandment was. The first and great commandment was what? To love the Lord God with all our heart and might, and second, to love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22. Can I tell you that if you don't love your neighbor in the right manner, you can't love God in the right manner. It's bidirectional. And so this whole idea of lovest thou me, and Simon had said, Lord, you know, you're not, you know, everybody's going to forsake me. No, I'm not going to, Lord. I love you too much. I'm not about to forsake you. That's not going to happen to me, Lord. That's basically what he said. That's basically, he said, I love you so much that, it wouldn't be me. No, it wouldn't be me. Everybody else might, but it won't be me. I love you too much. Well, can I tell you that That's exactly what he says. He said, "Lovest thou me?" The subject of his love. I'm afraid sometimes folks love church, folks love ministry, folks love gospel music, folks love whatever. But the bottom line is, do we love the Lord? Do we love Him? Is He the subject of our love? If you'll remember, that's what happened to the Ephesian church. They had lost their first love. That didn't mean they quit going to church. It doesn't even mean that they quit being involved in ministry. Sometimes you can fall in love with the ministry. Over the years, I've had people come in, and I didn't realize it at the time, but they joined the radio station. I didn't realize it at the time. I thought they were joining the church, but they actually joined the radio station. And then I've had families come in and join the Christian school. I've had them come in and join the food ministry. Now, they went through the motions of joining the church, but no, they were actually in love with the ministry and the aspects of the ministry. Because when the ministry let them down, and when the ministry didn't treat them like they wanted to, and when the ministry suddenly lost the shine and the gloss was taken off of it, and they got rid, you know, they saw the what it was really like and the hard work and all the things behind the scenes, suddenly they're no longer interested. I visited a fellow one day and I said, "Where do you go to church?" He said, "Well, I don't go to church." I said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that." He said, "Oh, I got hurt down at such and such church." I said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that." He said, "And I ain't been nowhere since." I said, "Well, really?" I said, that's terrible. I said, "That happened recently?" He said, 22 years ago. And I said, "Well, let me ask you something. Has the Lord ever betrayed you?" "Oh, no." "Well, has the Lord ever let you down?" "Oh, no, no, preacher, not at all." "Has the Lord ever not been good to you?" "Well, of course not, preacher. The Lord's always been good to us." I said, "Well, why are you taking it out on Him? I just got through hearing you say you got mad at that church, you got mad at that preacher, you got mad at the deacons, but you took it out on the Lord. God's got plenty of flocks. I mean, there's ever a flavor like an ice cream store. Man, you find every flavor of church in this country. They're everywhere. But you didn't just quit church, you quit God. You quit God. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me?" And so the subject of his love, "Lovest thou me?" But then he makes a statement as to the size of his love. A comparative statement, and he says, "Lovest thou me," look at the phrase in verse 15, "more than these." And that's my thought, more than these. Now, more than these what? Let's examine what we have here. Let's look at the scene. Let's see what it is that, I mean, he doesn't name it, so apparently in the narrative there's something that's obvious because the Lord doesn't say what it is. But it must have been obvious to Simon. And it may have been obvious to the disciples. "Lovest thou me more than these fish?" There's fish on the fire. More than these fish? You remember, he's a fisherman by trade. But the Lord had told him, "I will make you fishers of men." And the amazing part of it is he had got to see some men called. He'd got to see some men saved. He'd got to see some men converted in his time. Matter of fact, more than that, he got to see men delivered from disease and from demons. He got to see things that nobody else in the world got to see. As a matter of fact, it was Simon Peter that walked on water with the Savior. Maybe he was talking about the fish. Peter said, "I go a-fishing." And the rest of the crowd said, "We go with thee." And so they're back to their old trade and their old livelihood and their old, I mean, they're just back at it. "Lovest thou me more than these fish?" Maybe that's what it was. There's a draught of fish that had been caught. There's already fish on the fire that the Lord had caught himself or had created there himself, whichever they had eaten. Lovest thou, maybe he took his hand and said, lovest thou me more than these? And there's a little fish in the pan, or maybe the net pulled up there on the shore with all the fish in it. Lovest thou me more than these? But now, I like to eat fish. I started to say I never met a fish I didn't like. That's not true. There's a few I don't like, but most of the kind that you're supposed to eat, I like, all right? I like them pretty good, and I like fish. But this was more than just an appetite thing, because you see, for Simon Peter, those fish represented money. It was his job, and it represented finances. We had been to Boreas Island. We had been on motorcycles. We had crossed the island, been on the back side of the island. And the boys with the boat had been there. Joel was gone, and they had seen a school of flying fish come through the Strait of Boreas. You could see them jumping. Well, the boys, very quickly, without Joel, they run out to the boat, grabbed the net that we had bought and sent over there, and they went out through the net, and you ought to see the slew of fishes that they brought up. And when we got back there, they had rigged the tarpaulin out in front of the house, put one on the ground, and they had fish piled up, had a big old pile of fish, and they were selling them, had a scale hung up, and they were selling fish by the kilo. And boy, it was a happy day. You ought to have seen all the people. Everybody was there. I mean, they had walked from everywhere, and they were there, and people was buying fish, and they were all just talking, and he's having a big time. And his aunt, she had a whole big bunch, so many, she bought a big basket full, so many fish, she couldn't even carry it. Had to get some of the boys to carry it for her. And I said, Lord, she can't eat all them fish. What's she going to do with them? Said, oh, she salts them. And said, her salt fish are a delicacy. Said, well, people come from all over the island to get her salt fish. And said, she'll make good money salting those fish and selling those fish later on. Said, that'll be a big deal. And boy, it was a lot of things. And boy, the money was just a changing hands. And they were just having a big time. And it was almost like a celebration the day that school of flying fish came through. And they dropped the net on them and brought them in and had them for sale there in front of the house. So I can almost imagine what that was like. And maybe these fish that they had caught, or these fish that, maybe that's what the Lord was referring to. Maybe he was saying, lovest thou me more than these fish? But in saying that, maybe he was saying, lovest thou me more than these finances? Finances? It's already, the die has already been cast. I'm going to die poor. That's already been established. The kids ain't going to have to fight over it, because I don't have anything, to leave them. I saw a bumper sticker the other day on the back of an RV, and it said, we're spending our kids' inheritance. And I thought, that's the way to keep them from fighting over it, amen. But did you know there have been times I've had opportunities to make money more than once? As a matter of fact, I was offered a sweetest deal by you ever seen by the Israeli government to bring two tours a year to Israel. You'd be shocked what you can make running tours of preachers and people. And they talk about using the radio station to promote it. And I could make two tours a year and go to Israel. And mine would be comped. Everything would be free. But not only would I receive so many dollars ahead for everybody that was on that bus, on that airplane, I would receive so much ahead everywhere they went. If they bought gifts, I would get commission. They would take them to their gift stores, and I would get commission off the gifts, off the jewelry, to discourage everybody from buying from the street vendors, because you don't get commission. And we would go to these high-priced gift stores to buy, and in turn, they would pay me in cash when we'd get on the bus and give me a roll of cash for everything that everybody bought. Yeah, and they offered me that. I have been offered the opportunity, because of the radio, to sell everything from vacuum cleaners to Melaleuca. And I don't even know what Melaleuca is, but I've been offered to sell it. I mean, and the bad part of it is that there's a streak in me that could, if I chose to go that route. But I'm going to tell you something. That's something God never has. Boy, God's, you talk about slapping somebody's hand. I even got in the radio brokerage. And I had a man who was going to leave me an established radio brokerage business. And I actually sold a couple. But as part of the business, I'd have to sell rock and roll stations and country music stations. I'd have to sell every kind of station in the world. And you'd have to sell to every cult and everything else that was going on. Did you know that a radio broker makes 10%? Did you know that you only have to sell one FM a year for $10 million? And you get $1 million commission? I'd like to try to live on that for a year or two, see if I can make it. Just try it and see how I did, you know. Just try it. I know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about concluded the deal. I saw his commission. That particular set was only $8 million something, but he walked away with $800,000. He had some money invested, but he walked away probably with $600,000, $700,000. Hey, you don't have to sell many at that rate, my friend. I'm talking about the commission was out of this world. But the Lord absolutely said, no, no, no. Here's my problem. I've kind of got a one-track mind. And if I ever got to pursuing that, the Lord knew I wouldn't pursue the things of God with the same fervency or take away from the time. Looking back, I regret I've not had time to devote to what I'd like to, and I don't have a hobby. But I still don't have enough hours in the day to devote to the things I ought to. And I'm not bragging, nor am I complaining. I'm just simply telling you that if you're going to do this thing right, and if you're going to love the Lord more than these, it's a full-time job. Trust me that. It's full-time. I mean, it'll keep you busy. I wonder who else is here on the scene. There's the fish that represent the finances. What else can we talk about? Well, there's the fellow standing around the fire. Lovest thou me more than these friends? Friends? More than these this fellowship? Lovest thou me more than these? In that group of people standing around that fire, there was family members. There were sets of brothers in that group. Lovest thou me more than these, than family? Can I tell you, if you're going to ever accomplish anything, your family comes first, but yet the Scripture says if you're not willing to forsake father and mother, you're not worthy. I know people that can't go to the mission field because they can't leave their family. I know people that can't follow the Lord and move out of town, take a church because they can't leave their family. I know people that have such close ties, they won't surrender to preach, they won't follow God, they won't get serious about following God because they're afraid of what their family will say. More than these family. Think about it. What future is there? I mean, the Lord Jesus, he's resurrected, but he's already told him he's leaving them. Maybe Simon's looking out for the future. Maybe he said, I've been on the road as an itinerant evangelist for 3.5 years. And we've just lived pillar to post. We're not done with that, but I don't have 2 coins to jingle in my pocket. Man, it's time I get to looking out for my future. It's time I begin to lay up something. I'm not as young as I once was. You know how many people I've heard do that in their old age? I've heard them give up their King James convictions. I've heard them give up their Independent Baptist convictions so they could become part of the retirement program and part of the annuity. And man, do you know what them people make? Well, that annuity pays more than anybody. And boy, if you just pastor in that for a little while and the church contributes, why, you'll never have to do it. You got it made. Lovest thou me more than the future? Simon Peter, remember what he said? He said, though all these men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. He went on to say, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Lovest thou me more than these? The size of his love. But then, I know you've heard this before, but there's the sort of his love. The sort, S-O-R-T. In this passage, we're told that there's multiple words being used for love. There is a term that is used that's not in the Bible, but it would be used to describe what we would call today lust. And there's a term that describes that, and it could be translated love. And here we have, he asked the question, and he asked this, lovest thou me more than these? And he asked the question three times. And what we understand from this, if you studied this, or studied people who understand the language, the first two times that the question was asked, the Lord said, do you love me with an unconditional godly love? Do you love me with agape love? Do you love me with a charitable love? And Simon Peter answered, I love you like a brother. It's interesting to me that we're in the modern translations that they changed 1 Corinthians 13, they call it the love chapter. Love is not puffed up, love envieth not. The Bible doesn't say that, it says charity. Can I tell you the reason? There's a big difference. Hey, I love my wife, I love ice cream, and I love the winner. I love ice cream, but I don't love ice cream like I love, like I love the winner. I don't love the winner like I love my wife, and I don't love my wife like I love the Lord. I mean, we're pretty limited in our vocabulary. But bottom line, he was wanting to know what sort of love it was. Because Simon said, I'll die. Well, you know, it takes a pretty special love to die for somebody. That's an unconditional love. That's that God-like love. And he said, Peter, do you love me like I love you with a godly love? And Peter said, I love you like a brother. And the Lord says to him, the second time, do you love me? And he didn't say more than these, interestingly enough. The first time was a comparative statement. The second time, it's just absolute, straight out and out. Do you love me? Not more than these. Do you love me? And he answered the second time, I love you like a brother. And then the Lord condescends because Peter... And you could be taken either way. There's two schools of thought on this. Maybe the Lord condescended and said, do you love me like a brother? And Simon Peter says, because he's asked the third time, in other words, Lord, you don't even think I love you that much. Lord, I couldn't say I love you like the Lord loves me because I denied you three times. You asked me once, did I love you like with a godly love? And you asked me twice, did you love me with a godly love? But Lord, this time you question if I even love you with a brotherly love or not. Can you imagine how troubling that must have been? But let's take and turn that around. I said there's two schools of thought. That's the negative side of it. But on the positive side of it, the best that's within us and the best that we can muster is that brotherly love. And it takes the love of God through us to get above that one. You know what I'm saying? It's not something that comes natural to us. It's not something that, to turn the other cheek is not something that comes natural. To do unto others as you would have them do unto you, that's not something that comes natural. That's not something that abounds in our old flesh. I had one of our young men years ago, furious temper. Not just a bad temper, but a furious temper. About the worst case I ever known. And he was known to fight, and before he got saved, I mean, he was pretty tough. And he was over at Asheville preaching on the street. And there was a fellow come up to him and started hollering at him, and he spit in his face. And that young preacher took his hand, like kind of like a squeegee, and made it kind of form fit, and he run his hand down his face, and he squeegeed that spit off of his face and slung it off and proceeded to tell that boy about the love of Christ. And after it was all over, when I heard about it, I go, if that old boy only knew what he did. You don't tug on Superman's cape, you know. They just some things you don't do. And that would be, if that old boy had any idea if he had any idea who he just spit on, friend, he would have tucked his tail and run home to his mama crying if he had any idea what that boy was capable of doing to him. And he'd have done it so fast that the boy would never even know what hit him. And it would have been bad. And he'd have probably went to jail because he probably would have killed him with his bare hands and bare feet. He probably would have killed him. But instead he squeegeed the spit out of his face and continued to tell him about that Jesus loved him. That's the sort of love I'm talking about, that agape love. But he didn't say more than these. He asked him about absolutely, lovest thou me? And the Bible says that Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He was upset because of the count. He was upset because of the Lord's condescension. Maybe the Lord don't even think that I love him like a brother. Maybe that's what it is. And then just as he had said to him three times, lovest thou me, each time he told him to do something. He said, feed my sheep. He starts out and he says in verse 1, feed my lambs. The second time, he said, Lord, you know I do. And he said, feed my sheep. And the third time he said to him, feed my sheep. I put this note in my notes. Lambs need to be fed and sheep need to be led. And it's interesting that the second time he says it, the word feed, on the first and last one, the word feed has to do with nurturing. But on that second go around, it has to do with more than nurturing. It has to do almost with like you would train an animal, like you would train a dog. If you were using food to train a dog with, that you would use it as a reward and you would make that dog do certain things and perform certain things before he gets a treat. And as a result of that, there's training involved. Not just feedings involved, although he gets to eat, but there's training involved. I never knew that, but they tell me that's what that word, the feed in the middle, it involves that. Well, can I tell you that certainly we need to nourish the flock. We need to feed the flock as found in the first and the third times. But also, we need to discipline. We need to guide. We need to rule as is indicated and the second time. And then he said this. He said, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. First of all, whom he was serving. And secondly, how he was serving. Follow me, Simon Peter. It's a turning point in Simon Peter's life. Because as I shared last week, Simon Peter, he don't even realize it, but he's been given the keys of the kingdom. Now that does not mean that he controls the gates of heaven. That's not what that means. But what it does mean is that he was given the inaugural message to open the New Testament church in Acts chapter number 2. But what's amazing is he was not only given the inaugural message to the Jewish church, but he was given the opportunity to preach the inaugural message one-on-one to the first group of Gentiles that would ever get in, in Acts chapter number 10, Cornelius' house. And he would preach that message as well. The Apostle Paul would later come on to be the apostle to the Gentiles. But old Jewish Simon Peter, he was given those keys to the kingdom, and he was given that opportunity because he had confessed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And as a result of that, he was given that opportunity to open the doors of heaven to the Gentile church. And Cornelius and his household were the first of many, and what ultimately became a predominantly Gentile church in this dispensation. What was originally almost completely Jewish by the end of the first century was predominantly Gentile. And so it is today. And the Jews, although they still get saved on occasion, they make up a very small percentage of those that have been born again during this dispensation of grace. Can I say to you tonight, lovest thou me more than these? Do we love the Lord more than the fish? Do we love the Lord more than our finances? Do we love the Lord more than our friends? Do we love the Lord more than our family? Do we love the Lord more than our future? The things that lie out there in front. David said he had never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'm glad to report to you the same God that saved us, that same grace that's able to sustain us from the cradle to the grave. And he that's begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. And we can be sure of that. Lovest thou me more than these? You know what the church lacks today? We lack old-fashioned, just simply falling in love with the Lord. There was a time and there was a day when you used to hear people say, "Boy, that young'un's on fire for the Lord. He's really on fire for the Lord." When's the last time you heard anybody say that? Have you noticed that you don't hear anybody say that anymore? You know why? Because you don't see too many people that's like that anymore. There was a day that the young men, why, someone is called to preach, they'd drop her hat. I mean, they'd preach at the drop of a hat and drop her own hat to get to preach. I mean, it didn't matter. They didn't have to have a promise of a love offering. They didn't have to have a promise of a big audience. They didn't have to have a promise of anything. They just, hey, praise God, they just preached. It didn't matter. It was in them, and they had to get it off of them. They had to get it out of them. They was relieved just to get to preach somewhere. You don't see too much of that anymore. There was a time when young preachers would surrender to preach. First thing they'd do to start selling their assets. They'd start getting out of debt, selling everything. What are you doing? Well, I'm getting where God can use me. Well, how do you know God? Well, I don't know what God's going to do, but I'm going to get in a situation where God can use me. And that means you won't have the latest hunting rifle. And that means you won't have the latest pickup truck. And it means you won't have all the latest things. But you'll have something better than that. You'll have something more than that. You'll have something more precious than that. But can I tell you, hallelujah, you won't lack. I can tell it. But let me tell Randy Baines, let me tell what he said. He said, "When I went for broke for God," he said, "I don't have a house at the lake. I don't have all these things." He said, I can't go on a big paid moose hunt in Canada or in Alaska. I can't go out west and spend a week, elk hunting. I can't do all those things." But you know what? In the gospel, he said, "I got mamas and daddies all over three continents." He said, "I got houses anytime I want them." He said, "The preachers bring me out on purpose during season, so I'll get to get a deer, I'll get to get an elk, I'll get to hunt a moose." And he said, "They'll even bait them up to where all I got to do is walk out and shoot them. Bring them home." I went to pick him up at the airport one night. He needed a ride, and I went to pick him up, and here come a gun. He'd been out west somewhere, and here come a gun through the luggage chute. Here come a gun in the case. And he said, "That's mine." And so I grabbed it. And then in a minute, here come a cooler. It had dry ice in it. It looked like a coffin. It was so big, back when you could ship big stuff. Here it come out, and I said, "What's that?" He said, "Elk." Another time he brought salmon in, red salmon. I mean the red salmon from Alaska, the bright red salmon. They said the pink, pink salmon. So we feed that to the dogs up there. They eat red salmon, you know, and the bright red. And he said, "I've eaten the best meat, and I've hunted, and I've fished, and all the places." And he said, "Sometimes I say, Lord, I don't have long." And said, "One will step out in the clearing, bam." And he said, "I've got to hunt the best things, the best hunting clubs, the best places. I've stayed in places that if I'd have stayed home and worked as hard as I could have worked, and if I'd have put my nose to the grindstone, I would have never got to experience the places I've experienced. I'd never got to have fished. I'd have never got to hunted. I would have never got to vacation in the places that I got to vacation. And yet, because of the gospel, I gave it all up expecting nothing, and God gave back more than I could ever have imagined." Can I say the same thing is true?